this place. Your presence is here. And Lord, we thank you even for your manifest presence, for healings that are already taking place, for those, Lord, who are returning to you in a special way, Father, even right now. And Lord, for these children who are about to be dedicated to you, Lord, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Today we're going to have a special time of dedication and blessing of those the Lord himself said, to those the Lord himself said, to such belongs the kingdom of God. We have been blessed in recent weeks here at Liberty Life to not have one, not two, not three, but four new babies within our congregation here at Liberty Life. And the parents of these children are committed to raising them in the Christian faith as they dedicate them to the Lord. Three of these families have older children that have not formally been dedicated, and they are bringing those children to be publicly dedicated as well. And before I call them forward, let me just briefly share the purpose of child infant and child dedication. Much of this I have within your FYI and the pastor's blog, but I also want to just clarify it as well. I think it's important to really clarify that even to the children. I got a text from Gabby this morning, and Keegan had told Colson that we were dedicating our kids to the Lord today. And he said, and here's what Colson's response was, "You're killing us?" I said, no, we're dedicating, not sacrificing. And Colson said, "Woo, I don't want to be the Lord's. I want to be mommy's." That's pretty insightful. That's pretty good. So I think it's important we clarify what is a baby dedication. And it has its precedent in the scriptures, as in the presentation of Samuel by Hannah in the temple during the days of Eli, the priest. And of course, Jesus was brought to the temple by Mary and Joseph 40 days after his birth for dedication. The Apostle Paul reminded Timothy that from a child he had known the sacred scriptures. Jesus considered the little ones infinitely important and precious. He said, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for such is the kingdom of God, belongs to such as these." And I want to emphasize that dedication, child dedication, is not the same as infant baptism. Dedication is a ceremony where parents commit to raise up their child in a Christian home and in the admonition of the Lord. While baptism is a sacrament that in our faith tradition is a symbolic act of a believer's personal faith and a public declaration of faith. Child dedication is a promise from the parents to God, whereas baptism is a biblical act of one's response to God's grace and a public sign of the covenant with the individual believer. So the purpose of baby dedication is really to be found in the purpose of the parents. Rightly understood, the ceremony is one of parental commitment and dedication as well as a child's dedication. The parents are publicly pledging themselves to obey the command of Paul. Paul said, "Do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." This whole ceremony is meaningless unless the parents dedicate themselves as well as the child and the children to the Lord. Deuteronomy 11 says the word and ways of the Lord are to be taught to your children, speaking about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you rise up. Every day with your child is to be bringing them up in the ways and the thoughts of the Lord. So with that, I will now invite the parents to come with the children to be dedicated. It's a great joy today to introduce you to these beautiful infants, toddlers, children, to be publicly dedicated to the Lord by their parents, who are also requesting the prayers and support and the nurture that's provided by this congregation to aid them in raising the children until they come to a faith of their own, and then they can be baptized. Yeah. So calling them up in this order, Stanley and Marie Lambert, who bring their children, Chloe Faith and Kaylee, for baptisms. You all want to come on up and just stand, make a line up through here. They have other children as well, Brittany and Princess, who have already been dedicated. And these are all welcome to come up if they'd like, just however the parents wants to do that. And also Caleb and Kirsty Miller bringing their newborn infant, Maximilian Miller, with them. And sweet little sister, Eliana, is with us. And they have an older brother, Leonidas, that's it. Also, Jeffy and Mallory Pierre also bring their infant, Orlie, Sonny Pierre. She has an older sister, Joy. So we have Joy and Sonny. And then we have Keegan and Gabby Wasson, who bring four of their children for dedication today. Their newest, True, Manoa, Adley Jane, and Banner, and Colson. Banner Owen and Colson Levi. And all of these parents come today to pledge themselves before God and this congregation to raise their precious child in the way that honors the Lord. Amen. Wait a minute, before you do that, don't pass them out yet. Okay. So I'm also going to ask our incoming pastor, Jeff Lockington, to join me at this time because he's going to have a great responsibility of these guys. we're going to ask each of these parents if it's your intention to present these children to the Lord and to pledge yourselves to bring those children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. If you just, they're afraid of being sacrificed. They bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. Then we can answer what we do. So I'm going to get this out of the way here. And I'm going to wait here and see if Gabby can.
We can go last.
We go last.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to do this. If this might be one of those places where the congregation all has to assist. So anytime. There we go. We're coming. All right. So I'm going to ask these questions quickly. You come on down here if you want that. Come on down. Yes, we're so glad to have you. So, if you answer yes to this, is this your intention? So just say, we do. So, do you this day recognize your child as a gift? You recognize your child, your children, as a gift of God and give heartfelt thanks to God for this blessing?
We do.
And do you now dedicate your child or your children the Lord who gave them to you, surrendering all worldly claims upon their lives in the hope that they will belong wholly to Jesus Christ.
Amen. And do you pledge as parents that with God's fatherly help, you will bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, making every effort with faithfulness, patience, and love to build the Word of God, the character of Christ, and the joy of the Lord into their lives. Hallelujah. And do you promise to provide, through God's blessing, for the physical, emotion, intellectual, and spiritual needs of your children, looking to your own Heavenly Father for wisdom, love, and strength to serve them and not use them? Hallelujah. Do you promise God helping you to make it your regular prayer that by God's grace, your children will come to trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of their sins and for the fulfillment of all his promises to them, even eternal life, and is this faith to follow Jesus as Lord and obey his teachings? Hallelujah.
Amen. And now, since the dedication of these children to the Lord is made in this church, Liberty Life, we're responsible to come alongside these parents and training up of the children. I'm asking of the members of Liberty Life as well to affirm these children as under your care. Will you, as members of this congregation, be faithful in your calling as members of the body of Christ, so that these children and all other children in our midst may grow up in the knowledge and love of Christ? If so, answer, we will.
We will.
Amen. Amen. These are covenant we're making with the Lord. Amen. So I'm just going to ask that each of these parents, it's the parents that are primarily dedicating their children to doing that publicly, and we're here as witnesses of that. So I'm asking them to speak over their children as they dedicate them to the Lord. And Keegan, are you ready to do that? There you go, brother.
Thankfully, if the Lord can heal from a distance, then we can dedicate when our kids run out.
I agree.
So, Father God, we just thank you for the blessing of children, that this was your original purpose in the gospel going forth, was that godly parents would raise godly children.
Yes.
So, Lord, we just step into that calling. We thank you for entrusting us with four beautiful children. So, Lord, I just pray, me and my wife, Gabby, we just dedicate Colson to you. We dedicate ourselves to you and raising him up in the way he should go, cultivating the gifts and callings you have on his life. Oh, what a mighty warrior you're raising up.
Yes, yes.
We just thank you. God, we dedicate Banner to you, that he would be a banner of your love.
Yes.
To the
yes.
world.
Hallelujah.
We dedicate Adley to you. She's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. You have great plans and purposes for her. We dedicate her to you. And we dedicate True to you, that he would be a voice of truth to his generation.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
My wife and I, we present our children, Chloe Faith, Zachary Lambert, and Kaylee Lambert, to you, believing in your love and care, and by your grace that Kaylee and Chloe would respond to the work of your spirit to bring them to trust in you as Savior.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Lord, Kirsty and I dedicate these children to you. Please just help us raise them and help us do what's right by them and help us make them good Christians, Lord. Just work through us and just make Ella and Max just good Christians. Just use us in any way you would to guide them and make them good. We love you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
My wife and I present you Oli, Son, and Pierre. May the Lord who forms every child with purpose cover you with his wings and surround you with his unfailing love I dedicate you to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who knew you before you were born and called you by name while you were yet in the womb. May his light shine upon your path. May his word be the lamp to your feet. And may his grace follow you all the days of your life. May you grow in wisdom like Solomon, and strength like Esther, and in faith, like Annas, Charles, Samuel. You're a gift from the Lord, and with a grateful heart, and I entrust your life to his mighty hands. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I know they're some restless. So we're Jeff and I are just going to lay hands on each of those, dedicating them to the Lord, and as we present them along with their parents. So right now, just lay up, just pray. We just thank you for this child, Orly. We thank you, O Father, for her life. And we know, O Lord, the great plans that you have for her. And Father, as we dedicate her to the Lord, O Lord, may she grow up to be a shining light in Jesus' name. Father God, we bless her. We bless her. Anything you want to say over Jess?
Yes, hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, God, for her. God, we ask that you would just surround her, God, that you would guide her. God, that you would go before her, Lord. We thank you, God, for what you're doing, God, and that you would reveal and encounter her, God, that she would grow to know her purpose that you've made her for, Lord. Hallelujah, God, we thank you for her. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Oh, yeah, we're happy. So, Lord, today we just bless Maximilian. And we thank you, O Lord, for his life. We pray, O Father, as he's being dedicated, Father, that as Caleb and Kersey brings him up in the admonition of the Lord, Father, he would be quick to hear, quick to receive, and Lord, he would be quick to obey. And that, Father, we would see him surely walking in power and truth of the gospel of the kingdom in Jesus' name, Father God. And we also, even right now, we just lift up Eliana to you. We speak, O Lord, life over her. We thank you, Lord, for dedication of this day. She is truly dedicated to you. And, Lord, that she will forsake the things of the world and she will chase after you in Jesus' name. Amen.
God,
amen.
And you'd raise them up as mighty warriors, Father God, that would seek you day and night, Father, that would want to please you, Lord, and encounter them, God, and reveal yourself to them in Jesus' name, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
So
I love these. I love this white, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We just, even now, Lord, we just bless Chloe. And we ask, O Lord, that you would just pour out your love upon her. And Father, that as she matures, as she grows, may she be strengthened in faith. As I know, Stanley and Marie are going to just be pouring into their children the word of the Lord. They're going to be singing praises over them day and night. Oh, Father, I thank you that you will be, Lord, your child, your daughter, and to be able to read the word for herself. And Lord, it will just be a time of great blessing as she brings to this family. So, Lord, we together as this church, we dedicate her to the Lord in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We pray for Kaylee, Lord. We dedicate her to the Lord along with her parents, Father, that she too would be one who would hear you. She would say, yes, Lord, I'm your servant. That, Lord, you would waken her in her spirit being as she grows and as she matures. And that, Lord, she would be one who would speak truth. I just pray, oh Lord, right now that she would be a proclaimer of truth. First of all, Lord, just to her peers and her friends, but Lord, I see her also praying and speaking out over many others. So Lord, use her as we dedicate her to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah, God, that you would impart your spirit into them, God. That you would give them mighty gifts for you, Lord. That they'd find pleasure, God, in operating in those gifts, Lord. And I just thank you, God, that you'll raise them up, God. That you'd guard their hearts and their minds, Father. with your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. We got three up here. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you, O Father, for true Manoah here. In the name of Jesus, as he's dedicated to the Lord, Father, we lay hands upon him. Father, we pray for his wholeness and as Lord, as he grows, Lord, he receives and knows you as Lord and Savior. We thank you, O Father, that he will be the youngest of his siblings right now, but Father, he will be mature in his speech and his actions among them. And Father, we just ask that you would give him ears to hear and the knowledge and understanding as the word comes forth from his parents, from the church, and Lord, from his own seeking. Lord, I put a seeking heart upon him in Jesus' name. Lord, a seeking heart that he will seek after you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And Father, we thank you. We thank you, oh Father, for Adley. Jane, we bless her. We dedicate her to you along with her parents. Lord, use her. May she be a light in her house as this girl among the boys in Jesus' name. And Father, we speak blessing over Banner. Dedicate him to the Lord. And may he, oh Lord, truly be. Lord, I see him as has a quiet strength in his family, in Jesus' name. But he's going to blow the shofar in just a moment. No. And Father, wherever Colson is, we dedicate him to the Lord, Father, with all that energy and all that passion. That'd be directed directly at you in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, God. And I just pray a spirit of unity over this family, over the siblings, that they would walk in one accord and one rhythm, Father God, that they would be in one heartbeat with you, Lord. I thank you for who they are, God, and ask that you would encounter them, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them, God, and that you would guard them and go before them in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. We got work to do, keep them all corralled. But thank you. Hey, we got a gift for each of you, and a certificate for each of your children, or a certificate for each of the children. Yeah, go ahead and pass those out. We just are here to say that's just the book that tells us that you can read to your children and encourage them how God gave them to you. And it's a blessing. So thank you for coming and dedicating your children to the Lord. And may we take seriously our commitment today to raise them up. That means we have to be faithful in providing opportunities and continual, regular nurture, like the volunteers that we need for those classes that we can teach and train. So, hey, that's our commitment we're making. Jeff will be knowledgeable of that. So today, go in peace, and may the peace of Christ go with you. We're finishing these up, and let's just give thanks to the Lord today. Amen. Amen. I think these are all yours. Okay, there you go. We made it easy for you. Oh, okay. Yeah, might just bring up Caitlin Johnson, Caitlin Michael. She's in labor right now. Just had her. Okay. Y'all are watching your phones. Well, those are important things, though. That's right. We've been praying. Absolutely. So thank you. Yes. It's good to have our children.
Maya Jane.
It's what?
I think they may pronounce it Mia. M-I-A-H Jane has arrived, and that was sent at 9:58 this morning.
Maya Jane. Yeah, goes with Kaya. Kaya and Maya. Well, hey, a couple of weeks ago we talked about transition and that all of us have transitions to go throughout our life. And, you know, I just, over these, there's physical transitions in our physical bodies. We're transitioning from infants to children to teenagers to adults senior adults. We're all in these transitions. We're also in physical transitions in the way we move from one location to another. We're in transitions in education and all of the grades. We go through school and the qualities of our education. And then there's the transitions in career, transitions also in our spiritual transition. And praise God, we have the greatest spiritual transition, transition out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. And we're continually transitioning, I hope, as Christians. We're going from glory to glory to glory. There's transitions that are taking place. And transition, we learned, is not an elective. It's part of life. Some transitions are chosen, and many are not. They're forced upon us. And one of the things we learned last week is that we learned that success or failure in life is often determined by how we handle, how we respond to those transitions in life. And in the few moments that I have left this morning, let me share some of the thoughts from God's Word. The tools, the gifts, the special things that He has given to us, the blessings of the Lord, is given to us to effectively and successfully go through those transitions so that we are on the other side. We are in a greater place than we were before. And I recognize today that I knew I was going to have less time, so this is going to be short, but hopefully you'll catch the impact of what the notes I'm trying to give. Let's just go first of all, to the example of our Savior and His transition. Jesus had a transition. He had a transition from an obedient carpenter son growing up in a relatively peaceful dwelling with his family and his community there in Nazareth for almost 30 years. And that same one location. But then he had to make a transition from going to the son of a carpenter to being known as the Son of God. Jesus began transitioning, that there was a point of destiny, there was a point of transition, that was at the Jordan River and the baptism by John. He began transitioning to public ministry as a Son of God made known to save the world from sin and to destroy the works of the devil by setting His face toward Jerusalem and to the cross of which He would give Himself for the sins of the world. And that transition from an obedient carpenter son to the Son of God obedient unto death began at that baptism at His Jordan River. So for 30 years, he lived in a home with family. He worked a father's trade in the community, all that in relative peace and quiet. But he is about to transition to having no place to lay his head, working in service of the Heavenly Father in public ministry, many communities and areas of land and different places, and each day, dealing with resistance, each day dealing with upheaval and clashing of entities. That's a transition that was marked by His baptism at the Jordan River. So let's go to that passage in Luke chapter 3, verse 21, starting there at Luke 3. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It's also going to be overhead. Let's look at these gifts and blessings that the Lord gave at that time for this transition. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while He prayed, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon Him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "You are My beloved Son, in You I am well pleased." And then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days He ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, He was hungry. And the devil said to Him, "If You are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." So just looking at that passage, looking at the context of that passage, I see at least four elements used by our Lord in this most important transition of his life. And the first one is simply his prayer. His prayer. Of the four Gospels, Luke is the only one that inserts the words, "while he prayed." He was baptized, and then, while he prayed. Jesus didn't pray just so he could get something from his Heavenly Father. No, he prayed continually. He prayed continually, stay in communion with his Father. So that he prayed continually so that he would be quick to hear and quick to obey whatever he heard the Father saying. He prayed continually. He could be connected in transition. And in all life, isn't it? Prayer is essential. It's an essential element. It's not optional. It's a necessity. But of course, we know that here at Liberty Life, don't we? We're a praying church. And that is why we put a lot of emphasis on prayer. That is why we prayed and fasted during this, and still during this transition in the pastorate. And that should continue. And in this passage I can see that not only just prayed, but he fasted. Fasting is a big part of Jesus' transition in the wilderness. Prayer is a lifeline. Prayer is a lifeline. It's a channel. Whenever you're praying, you're focused on the Lord. You're not focused on anything else. You're just focused upon the Lord. Who holds every answer? Amen. The Lord who holds he provides every need. The one we focus on is the one who will give us every directive that is right. The one who gives us all power. We focus on the one who gives us all strength. We focus on the one who gives us hope. Yes. Amen. That's the importance of prayer. Jesus was baptized and emphasized while he prayed. You ever wonder what he prayed? Well, what do you pray when he got baptized? What's he praying? And we're not told in Scripture, though the words that follow can give us a hint, can give us a clue. Remember, Jesus himself said, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." So could he not have been praying for some testimony from heaven concerning himself at that critical time? A word from heaven. A word from heaven that would sustain him in this new role before him. In transition, it's always most beneficial to have a personal word from the Lord. When you're in you need to hear from the Lord. When you, especially if you're in those major transitions of life, whether that transition is chosen or whether it's one that's forced upon you. Whether it be, you need that word from the Lord, whether it be a promise or a declaration that comes from the Word of God itself. It says, that's my rhema word. That's a word from God for me. I have that in my spirit, I know. And you can stand on that and you can trust in that. Yes. And it's for you. That's a rhema word. Or it might be that word you hear audibly. You know, it was the word that sustained me when I received that call to my ministry. You know, Gary, sell everything you have and follow me. You know, I knew that was from the Lord, so therefore I wasn't afraid to step out in faith and whatever happens, happens. But I knew I was in the Lord's hand. So those are the kinds of things that we need. We need in those transitions of life. It can come in a dream. It can come as a heavenly sign. It can come from the word of a prophet who is speaking, and it's backed up by the word of God to us. In this transition, I have no question that Jesus hung on those words that he heard from heaven that day. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased. Why did Jesus need that word? Because there was going to be all kinds of words that were going to be spoken over him throughout his ministry in the days and the weeks to come. Jesus had all kinds of things spoken over him. Blasphemer, illegitimate child, demon-possessed, child of Beelzebub, you sinner, you who are a drunkard and with a glutton. But Jesus didn't allow the opinions of others to dominate his mental landscape. That he didn't allow the words of others to take captive his inner thoughts, his beliefs, his values, his emotions. No, he did not believe. He did not hold on to those words that was spoken over. He held on to the word of the Lord that was spoken to him, that he held on to. You are my beloved son, and you I'm well pleased. Jesus held on to his identity given to him, not by the world. It's a shame that so many of the world today, so many people, even the people of the church, they're still looking for their identity from the world. All they need to do is get hold of the identity that they have from Christ, from the Lord, and it would go well with them. They would be secure. They would be confident. Jesus held on to the words of his Father God. Whatever anyone else tries to say about him, he was confident and saying to those who were giving him such opinions, I don't accept your opinion. No, my Father says, you are my beloved son, and you I am well pleased. And that's the opinion that Jesus lived by. You know, I know there's many of you that have taken on some of that. Sometimes the enemy tries to put all kinds of words on us, you know. And you've taken up that word, you know, what is it? I don't agree with you. I see you. I don't partner with you. I send you back to where you came from. Yeah. Yeah. So what a great way of holding on to the word given to you. Somewhere along your journey, God needs to personally communicate that to you. Somewhere along your journey of faith, God has to communicate that personally to you. Romans 8 says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we're a child of God, that we're the children of God. And if children, then we're heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. You need to hear that word. I am a child of God. Just say that. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. It's the same as when Jesus, or God was speaking, the Heavenly Father was speaking to Jesus, you are my son. He's speaking to you. If you'll get hold of that word, that rhema word, he's speaking to you even now. I am a child of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. Ephesians 1:5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Jeremiah 29:11, we know that one. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I like that NIV translation of that. Yeah. I know the plans I have for you. You need to hear what the Lord's plans are for you. Amen. And stay in those. And don't let anything else move you from it. When we have a word from the Lord regarding who we are in him and his purpose and plan for us, and we can say, if God be for us, who can be against us? Yeah, you got that down. Last week in Pastor Jeff's message, we saw the same thing in the life of Joshua, in that major transition of his life. He went from a servant of Moses to being the leader of Israel. A major transition. And the Lord gave to Joshua a word that would sustain him. What was it? The Lord says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. That was a word that he had to have in order to do what he had to do in this transition of his life. You need a word from the Lord. And if you're in transition, man, seek the Lord until you have that word, that you may be confident as you go through it. When you have a word spoken over you, you can deal with most anything if you hold on to it. Others can talk about you just as much as they please. Yeah, Jesus, I'll pray for you when I'm down on my knees. Yeah. I don't care about your opinion. I'm resting on what my daddy says, okay? The third provision given by the Lord to draw upon is transition is, of course, the Holy Spirit. In transition, be sure you are filled with and led by the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. I don't know about you, but it would have seemed right to me after Jesus was baptized. What a glorious day that was. Hallelujah. Heaven's open. Voice comes down. Woo! Hallelujah, man. The anointing's there. Yes. Let's go. It would have seemed right to me if they would have just went right to verse 14. It said, and then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit. Oh, not that one. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. He just went straight from being filled there at the Jordan. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit of Galilee, and news of him went out throughout all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Seems like a natural transition from the baptism right into preaching. Or right there, just a few days later, going to Nazareth, picking up the scroll of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then closing up the scroll, saying, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Yes. I mean, that seems like a natural transition to me. That may have seemed right to us, and it was right, but not at that time. In the Father's plan, Jesus had to be tested. And the first test was to obey the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, who now had empowered him. Even if the Holy Spirit was leading him in place, he probably didn't want to go. Didn't look like, hey, what am I doing that for? Why am I going into the wilderness when, Lord, you're calling me to the world here? But he had to find out if he would be obedient and be led. You see, the Lord will oftentimes lead us to places we do not understand so that he can show us some wonderful aspects of his nature that we have not fully come to realize yet. He's going to take us into a different place. If he leads you into a dark place, he wants to teach you, he wants you to learn that he is the light of the world. If he is taking you into a valley, he wants to show you he's the lily of the valley. If he leads you on to a place of shaky ground, which many of us are right now, he wants to reveal to you that he himself is that sure foundation that can never be shaken. If he's leading you into an emotional storm, sometimes that's where he finds the Holy Spirit leading us into an emotional storm. He wants to bring you to know his peace in the midst of that storm. Yeah. If he leads you into a spiritual battle, he wants to reveal himself as the Lord strong and mighty in battle. If you have to go through a season of loss, if you have to go through a season of mourning, he wants to reveal himself as the great comforter. If he takes you into a season of constraint, where your hands are tied and you have no control, he wants you to know and experience that he is your freedom. Even in the midst of where you are constrained, he is your freedom. Absolutely. To respond correctly and succeed in transition, you and I must not walk in a way that seems right to us, but is attentive to the leading of the Holy Spirit and continually being filled with the Spirit. And I could speak and preach on that for a number of hours, but I can't stay there today. Because first, I want to get this last one, which says, abiding and speaking the written word is what's necessary to properly transition. Jesus not only used the word spoken over him, but the word that lived in him. to be successful in that transition from the work of a carpenter's son to the work of the Son of God. I know you've been taught often on this. You know, we've been taught often on the power of God's Word and the speaking of God's Word, but we need to continually be encouraged, be reminded of that, don't we? From a child, Jesus was taught and consumed God's written Word. Now, for him, that Word was what we call the Old Testament, the Torah, and the writings of the prophets and the Psalms. And yes, he was the Son of God. He didn't need to, did he need to do that? Yes, because he had to learn just as we learn. He came in human form, just like us. He had to learn, he had to memorize, he had to ingest that Word into his mind and his heart. And here in the wilderness, part of his transition to ministry, he reveals how knowing that Word and effectively speaking the Word of God, kept him from being deceived and kept him from being led astray and gave him authority over all the works of darkness, gave him power over the enemy. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when he had ended, he was hungry, and the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command the stones to become bread." But Jesus knew the Word. And it rises up at that moment, and Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." So, and of course, there were the other temptations there as well, that he always said, "It is written." Again, we go back to Joshua. Interesting. We go back to Joshua in his transition. What was the Lord's instruction to him? What was the Lord's instruction to him at that critical time? Said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." Not just in your being, but it cannot depart from your mouth. "But you shall meditate on it day and night." That's getting it in there. "That you may observe to do it." Okay, there's the obedience part. "According to all that's written in it. For then, when you ingest it, when you meditate on it, when you speak it, then you will be prosperous, and then you will have good success." So there it is. You know, four provisions of the Lord to draw upon in transition. And not just in transition, but really in all of life. Yes. All of life, every day. I'll guarantee you. I will guarantee. Sound like a commercial here now. I guarantee. If you will put this in areas of your life, in every area of your life, you put these four elements in practice, you will go from a struggler to an overcomer. Yeah. You will go from despair to hope. You will go from failure to success. Because it's God's way. It's God's purpose. And it was set for us from the foundations of the earth. So I just invite you today, as you're in transition, every one of us are probably in some area of transition in our life, some in bigger ones than others. But let's apply these. Let's stand to our feet. If the praise team can come today and worship, let's just pray. Let's ask the Lord to help us as in our times of, especially here at Liberty Life, this major chain times of transition. I was very thankful for Jeff to be able to come here for a few moments, Jeff and Megan to come here for a few moments this morning in this child dedication as we're in this transition, but he still has responsibility at his other church right now, but he was able to take off a few minutes. But let's continue to pray for Jeff and Megan, as well as Linda and I, and for this congregation in our transition. But today, as we're also singing, closing out the service, if there's any of you today that you just want special prayer, I just encourage you to come and get prayed for. Let's be in agreement. Agreeing prayer is such a powerful privilege and blessing that God has given to us. It's important. Yeah, we say, "Well, I pray at home." It's okay. It's important. Yeah. And we see many answered prayers just by praying alone. But Boy, agreeing prayer. Now that's two on earth agree about anything. It shall be done by your Father in heaven. So, Father God, I thank you today for this word that you have given to us and the importance of prayer and of your word and a word from you. And, Father, a word from the scriptures. And, Lord, the way that you hold us, Father, in these times of transition, and you will lead us and guide us by your Spirit if we relinquish our control of things to you. And Lord, there are maybe many of us, some of us here today that may be trying to hold on and be in control, and we try to make things go the way we want it to. But Lord, may we, like Jesus, be attentive to your Spirit, go where you tell us to go, even though it may be uncomfortable. And in those times, Lord, we'll learn more of your grace, and we'll learn more of your mercy and of your power and of your love, those attributes that oftentimes we have not come to know well. But Lord, in all these things, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. Come, Holy Spirit, in this special time of invitation, that as prayers are given, as agreeing prayers made, that lives are changed, hope is given, strength is provided, essential needs are met. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. A few of my worship or my ministry team can come as well. Let's just pray as we're ending up this service. And the altar, of course, just the altar itself is open for any in prayer.